You are listening to the Stetson Students Podcast, where we post all of the series and messages from our student ministry. We are a ministry connected to Stetson Baptist Church, where we are for DeLand and for Jesus. If you would like to learn anything more about our ministries, please check out our social medias or go to StetsonBaptistChurch.org.
Well, cool, man. I said this and it sounded like a joke, but I really did miss being with you last week. And so I am so glad that we're back and that we get to kind of finish off the semester together. If you've been with us, we've been walking through the book of Ephesians all semester. And so that's where we will be. We'll be in Ephesians 5. There's a Bible that is under your chair. So if you did not bring one with you, man, just go ahead and grab that, open it up to Ephesians 5. Also, we do have notepads for anybody looking to take notes. So if you're like, man, I want to take some notes tonight, but I didn't bring anything to write on, slip your hand up and a leader will be bringing those around. While you're flipping there and while we're doing that, I will kind of give you a little plea of, hey, why do I not need to take notes on my phone? Because let me tell you, your phone is probably your biggest distraction, especially in this room, because little you know, like you start on your notes and you get a text, then you go to your text, it's a link, then you go to a link, then you go to your like, oh, what's happening on Instagram and yada, yada, what's my fantasy, I don't know, basketball looking like, or what is my March Madness bracket looking like? So, man, if I would plead to you, man, if you're looking to take notes, man, do it on a piece of paper and a pen. We do have some notebooks and some binders in the back if you're looking for an actual one that you can keep all of your notes together in. So that was a quick fire, but hopefully by now you're probably at Ephesians 5. So let me ask you this. Who in here would say I am a deep sleeper? Anybody in the room? Okay. Look at that. So most of the room, which makes sense because you're all teenagers and it's like, man, you could, I'm sure a lot of you could sleep through a train horn in your room. I'm telling you, right? Yeah. Yeah. Everybody's like, yeah, that's me. That's me. Man, I am with you. My wife can attest to this. I am such a deep sleeper. Man, I could sleep through anything. If I don't set an alarm, I'm probably not getting up till like noon, right? So I need an alarm. I actually in college had to go back to an analog alarm, right? Is that right? I think I might have said that wrong. Basically, it's literally the one that maybe you see in a cartoon where like it has the two bells and it rings it. It's like, ding! That sits by my bed. I actually had two of those in college, one by my bed, and I hung one on the wall that was like right next to my ear and they would go off at the same time. And so I had like surround sound of my alarm because I was such a deep sleeper. Let me ask this. Anybody in here do some weird things in your sleep? Colin, your hand went up real fast. You kick in your sleep. All right, cool. All right, don't want to be, I don't know. Okay. Michael, you used to hit the wall. Is your bed like right next to the wall? That reminded you of something. Oh, you used to sleepwalk? Okay. Right here, you too. You sleep, scream, hit, and kick. Mom, is this true? Lisa. Does your daughter scream, kick, and hit in her sleep? you said what? you had bruises coming to you. Alice, you had your hand up? Oh, I used to grind here. What about, let me hit some, anybody sleep talk? We got any sleep talkers in the room? Okay. Amber's like, yep. What about sleep grinders where you grind your teeth? Any of those? Yeah. What about this? We got any bad snorers in the room? Any snorers? Every guy in the room. Oh, Cody, Amber is selling you out. All right. What about, I think we had one, but I want to hear how many sleepwalkers in the room? Sleepwalkers? Man, oh man. Guys, that's a little rough. All right, hey. So, I was, reel back in. I was thinking through this idea of like sleepwalking, and I was like, I'm sure there are some funny videos of this, and I actually found one. I wanted to share it with you. I thought this was really funny. This is a sleepwalking video.
You awake?
Yeah.
There she goes. It says, takes Ghost Dog for a walk. As you can see, she has a leash. There's no dog. I mean, look at that. She's just carrying that leash. 4 minutes later, oh, very productive walk. Very productive walk. Possessed. Somebody said she's possessed.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So, man, that's kind of scary, right? Like sleepwalking. No, but all fun and jokes aside. Real quick, back in. Here we go. Many of us truly live our life very similar to this video. As funny as it is, a lot of our life kind of looks like this sleepwalking haze. Man, we're going to be in, we're going to be in Ephesians 5, and we've seen this in Ephesians before, where Paul will use the word walk, and it'll be synonymous with this idea of how we live. And so whenever he says, like, walk like this, or do this, he is saying, live like this. And man, as he was describing, and as we're about to see, as he describes the way that we are to walk, in a sense, or live, man, I thought about sleepwalking, because I think a lot of us go through our life not realizing that our actions truly matter and that everything that we do has a purpose. And so Paul kind of looks at us as we get into this, and he's going to tell us, man, the way that we walk or the way that we live needs to be with an intentionality and needs to be very active. We need to wake up, in a sense, and stop living a sleep-like nature and be very aware of how we are living. And so Paul is going to walk us through three sections of how we're going to live. We're going to see these three sections. We're going to explain it and kind of see what do we need to do from that. All right, if you heard me, say heard. Cool. All right, first thing that we see Paul tell us is he's going to say, and we need to walk in love. We need to walk in love. And again, when we say walk, we mean live. We need to live in love. Picking up in verse 1 of chapter 5, he says this: therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. So from the very start, Paul looks at us and he says, man, we need to imitate God. And how do we do that? We walk in love, and not just any type of love, but the love that Christ had for us. Man, if you've never heard of the love that Christ had for you, it is that Jesus came, lived the life that we were destined to live but could not, died the death that we deserved, and rose from the grave and has offered us forgiveness of our wrongdoings and sin. Not because we earned it or deserved it, but because of who he is and his great love for us. And so Paul looks and says, we need to walk in this type of love. And we've talked about love really a couple times this semester. One night we spent the whole time talking about it. Really, to sum up what we've said about love is that love in this generation and your culture and the world that you're in, your schools, your neighborhoods, whatever, is that it's really an empty word. Like it doesn't truly mean anything because love means everything to us now. Like, love is everything. Like, I can say to my friend, man, I love you. I can say to, a coach, man, I love you. Or to a certain, like, activity, man, I love this. In a sense, love is just this all-encompassing umbrella word. And because it means everything, truly now it means nothing. What I love about the Greek text and the Greek language is they actually had 8 different forms of love, meaning 8 different words to describe different loves. And because I'm not Greek and I would butcher every one of these words, I'm not going to say the words. I'm just going to tell you the different types of love that they would describe in their language. One was a romantic type of love. And so a love between a husband and a wife or spouses or partners. And an affectionate type of love was a separate type of love, a love that was very affectionate. A familiar type of love, like a love between a brother and a sister or a father and a son. A obsessive type of love. So maybe a love where you are obsessing over something, you want something so bad, that type of love. A playful type of love. of that's probably more of that friendship, playful, loving, and enduring type of love. So in hardships, enduring persecution and hardships and stress. A self type of love, a love of self, and really an appreciation of who you are. And my favorite is the word agape. You've probably heard that before, agape. And it is an unconditional love. And what's so special about this love in the Greek language is it is usually only reserved for a divine type of love. A love from God to his creation. A love from God to us. And this is the love, whenever you hear about God's love for you, it is always this love, agape love. And what we are seeing now is Paul is looking at us saying, we need to have agape love, not the love that we live in, that we know about, but an unconditional type of love, a love that is never ending, no matter the circumstance, it stays present and it stays in our life, a selfless type of love, a love that is not about all about what I can give and get and enjoy and perceive. But a love that surpasses all things, a love that stays in every moment. And when I think about that type of love, I think about the word love as a definer, meaning a love that isn't defined by the world around me, a love that isn't defined by my circumstances or my friends or my situation, but a love that defines those things, meaning it defines how I react in the good times, and it defines how I react in the bad times. It defines how I talk to my friends. It defines how I talk to my family. It defines about not only what I talk about, but how I do that. So Paul is starting us off by saying, walk in this way, walk in a way where love is a definer, and not just any love, but the love that God has for us, the agape love. But then he picks up and he says, don't only just walk in love, but also walk in light. Walk in light. I'll be honest, this is where we're going to spend most of our time walking through what he says about walking in light. Picking up in verse 3, he says this, but sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. Because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them. So, man, there's a lot of heavy language there, but and just kind of to simplify what he's saying is, hey, there's a lot of things that the world does. Don't do those things. There's a lot of things that the world says is okay. Don't fall into that camp. Don't fall into that group that enjoys those things, because they're not good for you. And really what he's saying is, don't do those things, which means don't be controlled by those things. Because a lot of the things that he names and the things that maybe you can, maybe it stuck out in your head, they are things that don't just happen in your life, but they're things that want to take a grasp of who you are. And they want to be the definer of what you're going to do, of how you're going to think, of what you're going to be like. He uses the word idolater. And really, when we hear the word idolatry, you've heard that word before. Man, idolatry is simply saying placing things or people as more important than God in your life. That's when someone says, man, that's idolatry, or man, you're idolizing that. It is to say, man, I'm placing that as more important than God. That is, in a sense, that is the most important thing in my life. And Paul here is saying, don't do that. Don't live a life idolizing things. And the question for you that I have right now is, and what are you idolizing in your life? What is an idol that you have in your life that you need to remove? Notice that I didn't say like, hey, is there an idol? Because the truth is, man, I can tell you, for all of you, including myself, including the adult leaders, including everybody in this building right now, everybody on this planet right now, we all have idols in our life. And it is our job day by day to realize what they are and remove them, to get rid of them, to submit them under God's lordship, not put them over him. And if you're wondering, Nate, how do I know what is an idol in my life? I'd say this. Show me where you spend your time and I'll show you where your idols are. Show me what you spend your time doing. Show me where you spend your time at. Show me what you look at the most on your phone and I'll show you where your idols are. Because where we spend our life, where we spend our time, that is where we give our heart. That is what we give our heart to. So he doesn't just, he says, man, walk in love. And then he says, man, walk in light. And through that with give up idolatry. But he doesn't stop there when talking about walking in light. He picks up in verse 8 by saying this. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. So he says, man, you're walking in light. You're putting away darkness. Have the characteristics of somebody that walks in light. Have characteristics of somebody that has been saved. When I was reading this portion, I really thought about in COVID, I don't know about you, but I found like a Netflix show that I really attached to. I don't know what yours was. Mine was called Real or Cake. I'm telling you, man, I love me some Real or Cake, man. It pops up on my feed sometimes and I'm like, I need to go rewatch that. Really the gist is, man, it's these incredible bakers and these, I guess you would call it, is cake baking. Yeah. You bake cakes, right? Yeah. So they would go in and find them. They bring them in. They would take real objects and then they would make one, a cake that looked very real. And it was on the judges from afar to guess which one is real and which one is cake. Man, this is not our faith, though, but I think a lot of us live like that, where it's like, man, I want to have the faith, but I don't want it to be real. I want it to kind of fool the rest of the people. I even want it to fool God, but at the end of the day, I want it to be what I want it to be. I don't want to give it all to God. I don't want to live the fullness of the life that God has for me because it's not what I want. It doesn't let me enjoy the things that I want to enjoy. It doesn't let me have the passions that I want to have. It asks me of my time, my fellowship, and even of my heart. And I don't know if I can give that, but I want to fake it. And Paul here is saying, man, if you're going to walk in the light, if you're going to live in the light, you need to have the characteristics of the light. In a sense, if you're following Jesus, you will look like it. There is no follower of Jesus that doesn't look like a follower of Jesus. I'm not saying you're going to be perfect, but there will definitely be a change in your life and people will look at you and go, man, he is just living differently than the people around him. She is just acting differently than the other people that I see in the school. So the question is, man, do you look different than the people that are not following Jesus? Or would you say, Nate, honestly, I'd fit in pretty well. And I do fit in pretty well. So he says, man, don't take up idolatry. Put those things away. Man, take on the light of Jesus and have the fruit that comes with it. And then he finishes this section by saying, take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them, for it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible, for anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, it says, awake, O sleeper, arise from the dead, and Christ will shine upon you. So he says, and get rid of the darkness, take on the light, and then expose the darkness everywhere else. Expose the darkness that is surrounding you and the people around you and the places around you. And when I thought about this idea of like walking in light, I realized there's really two things that come with light. One is you can turn light on and off, right? Like think about the lights in here. Like we could turn the lights off. We're not going to because I don't like the dark, but you could turn them off. But also you can make lights brighter or dimmer. Like lights can change in how bright they are, right? Man, here, Paul is looking at you and saying, man, if the light in you needs to be on, but your walk now is making that light brighter. Like once you've gotten the light of Christ in you, that's awesome. And let's celebrate that. But the job's not over. You get the ability and the joy of making your light brighter day by day. And when you think about it, when we talk about exposing darkness, meaning to show the darkness that is around us, I thought about this. Like, that means for us that our light should either encourage somebody else in their light or should convict somebody else of their darkness. Like, every conversation, every interaction we have with somebody else, it should either be encouraging them that, man, I have the light of Christ in me, or convicting them of, man, I don't have that light, but I want it. I know that's very tough, and it's like, man, what does that look like? And we don't have all the time to get into what every conversation would look like there, but man, think about your most recent conversations. Would you say that your interactions with people show lightness and expose darkness? Or would you say, man, I try to actually avoid weaving Jesus or my relationship or my faith into anything? I try to kind of keep that compartmentalized and keep it separate. So, man, walk in love, but also walk in light. And then finally, he finishes by saying, walk in wisdom. And when he does this, he really just kind of gives us some practical wisdom. Verse 15, look carefully how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. So he says, look at how you walk. So look at how you live. And really, in a sense, he's saying, hey, watch how you're living because others are watching too. Listen to me. For everybody in this room, there is somebody else that is looking to see how you live, and they're trying to be like you. For my high schoolers, middle schoolers are looking up to you. For my middle schoolers, younger kids in other ministries or in other places are looking up to you. For my brothers and sisters or siblings, your brothers or sisters are looking up to you, even if you're not the oldest. And you are always being watched. And so we need to watch how we live. Look at how we are interacting with others as well. He says, make the best use of time because the days are evil. In a sense, he's saying, man, make the best use of your time here. It's temporary, so focus on eternity. I'm going to go quick because we're kind of running out of time. But really, he's saying, like, look, the days are evil. The days are fleeting. The days are vanity. They're going to end. So focus on the life that doesn't end, your eternity, and use that as a gauge of how you're living in your temporary time. Verse 17, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what is what the will of God is. Now, understand the will of God. I know that, man, that's such a big thing. And there's a lot of different ways that we could go about it. But when it comes to, man, what is the will of God? I'm going to tell you, it is this: to follow Jesus and live for his kingdom. To follow Jesus and live for his kingdom. That is the will of God. Now, listen, that's not going to tell you the specifics that you need to do with your life, but I'll tell you, if you can gauge it by that, if you can look at a decision and say, I can go this way or that way, and which one is the will of God? If you go, man, am I following Jesus and living for his kingdom in this decision or that decision? It'll help you make which decisions you need to make, okay? And sometimes the answer is you could do either, okay? That sometimes it is, and that is what it is. We can get more into that if you'd like to. Picking up in verse 18. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Listen to me. I'm going to say this a little bit more bluntly than Paul does. Don't be an idiot. Okay? There are so many things that we do that we look back on and we go, that was so dumb. Like, why did I think that that was a good thing to do? Why did I think that that was smart? Or why did I think that I would enjoy doing that? First off, that's called conviction, and it's a good thing that that's there. And we need to have that before we even step into some of those situations. Man, use conviction of, man, I look back on that situation and go, I don't like that I did it. I don't want to do it again. Listen to it, listen to that conviction, and use it to stop you from doing it again. And a lot of us kind of go through this cycle, right, of, man, I don't want to do, or I want to do something, I do it, I hate that I did it, I don't want to do it again, I totally forget that feeling, I want to do it again. And what I'm saying is we need to listen to the Holy Spirit's conviction in our heart and take it serious, even when it's hard to do. And then Paul finishes the section by saying, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your hearts, giving thanks always and for everything to God with the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. In a sense, I love how Paul finishes because he always finishes, or he finishes this section specifically by bringing it back to our praise to God, our thanks for him and our joy of living peacefully with others, caring and respecting them. He says, man, do all these things, but don't forget in it. Praise God. Thank him for the ability to do it. And look at the other brothers and sisters that you get to do it with and live with care and respect for them. Listen to me. That's a lot, right? Like that we just went through a huge section of scripture, 22 verses. I want to kind of simplify it. If you're like, Nate, I need, like, that's awesome and I loved what you said, but that was a lot. I don't know what I'm going to take away from this. Take this away. Listen, I'm going to ask us three final questions. I want you to evaluate yourself by these questions. And then I'm going to give you a charge. Okay. Can we do that? Yeah. Thumbs up if we can do that. Cool. Great. First question. What parts of my life do I need to let God's love define? Think about it. What parts of your life do you need to let God's love define? Again, this is not the empty type of love where it means everything and means nothing. This is the agape, unconditional love. What parts of your life do you need God's love to take control of? Do you need to give to him and say, God, I'm going to let your love define how I treat this person or how I use this thing or how I do this? What parts of my life do I need to let God's love define? Question two, what parts of my life do I need to turn from darkness to light? What parts of my life do I need to stop living in the darkness and hiding with it because I know it's wrong? Do I need to turn to light and let it radiate with vulnerability and give it to God and give it to others? What parts of my life do I need to turn from darkness to light? Number three and final question. What parts of my life do I need to give up foolish things? And what parts of your life are you looking at going, man, I do this and I know it's dumb. I know it's foolish. I know I shouldn't. What parts do you need to say, I'm going to take this, I'm going to give it to God. I'm going to take this and I'm going to stop it. Can I tell you, let me be honest. Many of you, the thing that is probably happens on a object that's in your pocket right now. If you don't know what I'm talking about a phone. And honestly, I'm gonna bet many of you are going, hey, Nate, I answered the same thing for all three questions. Nate, I don't know if I was supposed to have something different, but man, I had the same thing. Listen to me, that's okay. All I want you to do is think about it. And don't, listen, I love Pastor Dan does this. The thing that you needed to be thinking about was the thing that you put away after you thought about it. Of like, oh, no, not that, right? No, that thing. Now, here's the charge. Here's the action step. You thought about the thing of like, what do I need to let God's love define? What do I need to turn from darkness to light? And what foolish thing do I need to give up? Here's the charge. Do it. Do it. Man, don't just think about giving those things up. Don't just think about letting God's love define it. Do it. Don't just think about like, I don't need to do this foolish thing. Do it. Don't do that foolish thing. Man, we get to sing a song about coming to the altar. And what that means is, man, God, I'm going to lay this down before you. I'm giving it up. Man, what an awesome opportunity for you to take these questions and give it to God. And we're going to sing, but some of you may just need to pray. God, I'm giving this to you. God, I'm letting your love define me.
Thank you for listening. We hope you have a great week and that you are a light for Jesus. Grace and peace.